be like the sheaf, that in the middle, all these other 11 sheaves are going to bow down to you. And Joseph shares this dream with his brothers, and the brothers get it right away. They got exactly the right interpretation. I can almost see him folding their arms and going, uh-huh, and you think we're going to bow down to you? You got another thing coming. And I don't think Joseph was trying to brag. I think he was 17 years old, trying to just be him and shine his light. Maybe Joseph could have used a journal instead of telling his brothers. Maybe he needed to wait a little bit and write it down first. Maybe his timing wasn't so good. Humanly speaking, his timing was awful. Because you know what happened after he tells these dreams? If you read the story later on, his brothers are so angry and so jealous that they want to kill him. They want to kill their own flesh and blood. So they actually plot to throw him in a pit to kill him. And Reuben, one of the older brothers, steps in and says, no, we're not going to touch him. We're not going to kill him. We're not going to shed blood. Let's just throw him in the pit. And Reuben's plan was, after we all leave, I'm going to come and rescue my brother and bring him home. But the other brothers, they decide, you know what? We hate him so much. That's why I wanted to point out those words. They hated him even more. You see, we don't like when people are different. We're kind of attracted to them in one way, but actually we kind of hate when people are different. If you don't believe that, you haven't been watching the news lately, right? With racial violence and all the other stuff going on. Because we hate what's different, and yet we're strangely attracted to it too. And so Joseph's brothers hate him, and they decide to throw him in a pit. And then Judah, one of the other brothers, decides, you know what, we could just leave him here, but you know what, here comes a caravan of the Midianites, the Ishmaelites. Let's sell him off. Let's at least get something out of this. And so they decide to sell him for 20 shekels of silver. You know what about 20 shekels of silver is worth today? I actually looked it up. It's worth $189. Not a whole lot for your brother. It was basically, for all you who remember Kmart, it was the blue light special of the day. It was the cheap deal, and they get at least some kind of money out of him, and they sell him off. Reuben comes back later on and goes, he's gone, he's gone. The brothers conspire, and they take his coat, and I can imagine them ripping it up and shredding it out of hatred. I hate your vision. I hate your dreams, Joseph. I hate your words. I hate who you are. I hate everything about you, as they're ripping up his coat. And then they dip it in animal blood. And it goes on to say that they bring it back to his father, Jacob, and say, your son, look. And Jacob weeps, and he tears his clothing and says, my son has been killed by a wild animal. And he's grieving, and he's in torture and turmoil about losing his favorite son, Joseph. Now, I have to paint all that picture, because here's the point. It's amazing what happens, and these are some of the lessons we can learn, because we need to hear not only this biblical story, but realize what it implies for us today. Here's some different things we can learn. We lose our distinction, our giftings, our specialness, our coat, if I can use that term. We lose our distinction in our culture when we compromise. We take off our coat, church. We don't shine our light. We don't say, this is what we believe in. This is who we are. This is who my God is. We try to adapt into culture, and because we're ashamed of the gospel and we don't want to stand up, we're afraid to be who we are. Joseph wasn't afraid to wear that coat because he knew he was clothed in the favor of the Lord. The love of the Lord. That challenges me. I can go out and do evangelism. I've done lots in my years, especially in my years of YWAM. But I have to be honest, every time I go up to talk to somebody, there's a little bit of that, that little bit of that hesitancy. Are they going to respond? Do they like me? Will I be okay? Is it enough? Do I present it enough? All those doubts, right, that we can have. And I have to say to myself, you know what, Eric? I got to be clothed in the love and favor of the Lord. You know, Acts chapter 2 says we shall be his witnesses, right? Doesn't say experts. Thank God, I don't have to be an expert. I don't have to have all the answers. I just need to be a witness. I just need to share the coat that I got. Clothed in his love and forgiveness for me. My story. That's it. That's it. But not being ashamed of it. What else can we learn? When we can learn that when we follow our dreams, it's easy to do it in our own flesh, isn't it? Instead of God's. You know, I think we sometimes believe that if we get a big enough dream and it's grand enough and it's powerful enough, that God is automatically obligated to fulfill that dream. I have felt that way. I remember being a DTS leader for YWAM, having a vision and calling from the Lord back in the Soviet Union days to take my team from Sweden and go on the Trans-Siberian Railroad, and we were going to preach the gospel, and we were going to take Bibles into the communist country, and we were going to do this, and we're going to do that. And long story short, I never got to go because the visa never came through, and I was utterly in despair. God, I thought you were going to show up. You gave me this vision. You gave me this dream. He spoke to my heart and said, no, that was your dream. That was your dream. See, I think we think that if our dream is big enough, God's automatically obligated. And yet we try to live it out and work it out on the flesh. You know what? I think a lot of people will read this story of Joseph and they want to preach another message, which is basically the message is, you know, it's God's purpose and it's God's plan. And if you just dream the dream, if you just say yes, right? I sound like a motivational speaker here. If you just say yes, right? And you dream the dream, it will happen. And God will take you from the pit to the palace, right? That's the message that a lot of people will preach from Joseph. But it's not the message of the Bible. The message of the Bible is not a cultural one. We need to have a biblical interpretation. Because Joseph didn't ask for a dream, God gave him a dream. And that's different. That's different. It's okay to ask for a dream. It's okay to dream dreams. It's okay to have visions. It's okay to want something big. I do it all the time. But is it God's dream? Is it God's vision? Or are we just trying to work it out in the flesh? Another lesson we need to learn is we need to have courage. We need to have that courage to be different because it's different now. Courage comes from the Latin word, which means literally to take heart. We have a lot of Latin-based words for you know Spanish, corazón, right? The heart. It means literally to take courage means to take heart, to have that boldness to say yes. God, I trust in you. I'm believing in you. I'm going to go after what you put in my heart, even if I don't see it. Going back to the story of Joseph, can you imagine? He gets this dream, two dreams. Sheaves are bowing down to him, and the moon and the stars, or the sun and the moon and 11 stars are going to bow down to him. And he's already seeing, wow, my brothers, my family's going to bow down to me. And his family's indignant. His father rebukes him. His brothers are jealous. He's thrown in a pit. He's sold into slavery. And he's sent off to Egypt. We're going to get into that part next week. And he's sent off. And I can imagine if I was Joseph, I would be, wait a minute, God. Wait a minute. I thought this was going to happen. And now this is happening. Anybody feel discouraged sometimes? Any feel a little disappointed, let down? Yeah. God, where were you? I thought this was going to happen, but now this happened. It's so discouraging. It's so hard. But I want to tell you, it's okay to take courage and be different. Wear that coat of who you are and who God's called you to be and wear it proudly. You know, when Jesus came around, they didn't know what to do with him. They crucified him, as we know. He was different. He wasn't the expectation of what the Messiah should be. He was different. We don't know what to do with you, Jesus. Your grace and your truth. That's confusing. They were used to just the law. Now he comes and he says, I'm grace and I'm the truth. He's different. We can be different. You know, the world wants to put us in a category, in a box. The world wants to say, this is what Christians are, and they're, you know, foolish this and conservative that, and whatever label they want to stick on you. Who are you in Jesus? Who am I? You see, the world says, another thing we can learn is the world says it's okay to just be different for different sake. And so we have lots of people trying to be different. They want to be different for all sorts of reasons. Different in their clothing, different in their gender, different in their style, different in their demeanor. And it's all style. We are called, church, to be different in substance, not style. Substance. That's our values. That's who we are. That's how God's made us to be. That's standing on the Word of God. I'm so grateful we have a pastor who preaches the Word. When a lot of churches would rather just go into fluff and feel good messages, we have a pastor who's committed to preach the Word. Standing on the Word, believing the Word. God, I want to dare to be different. I don't want just style. I want substance. I want more of you. We need that biblical understanding, as I mentioned, to understand it's not a culture interpretation. It's God showing up. Because Joseph didn't ask for a dream. The dream came after Joseph. Do you hear me, church? Because when we go after a dream, that's in our flesh. When we go after Jesus and follow Jesus, the dreams follow us. Did you hear that? Did you hear that distinction? Church, we're called to follow Jesus. And when we follow hard after Jesus, he gives us those dreams. He gives us those visions. He fills us up. He gives us that power. One of the things we're going to look at next week is there's several places that it says that God was with Joseph. We'll get more into that next week. But think about, the Holy Spirit is with us daily. He lives inside of us. The mystery of the gospel is we are in Christ and Christ is in us. I can't even explain that to you. I'm not even going to try. That's incredible. How are we in Christ and yet he's also in us? I can only imagine. Sounds like a great song. I can't even imagine that. And yet it's true. And yet the Lord is with us in a greater way than Joseph. More on that next week. You know, the rest of the story, Joseph ends up in slavery. We're going to look more at some of this next week. He ends up in slavery. He's in Potiphar's house. He goes from the place of slavery into a place of being in position. Why? Because the dream followed Joseph. I don't think Joseph thought much of his dream, to be honest with you. I don't think he was waiting around, thumbs twirling, going, okay, God, when are you going to show up, and when are all the sheaves going to start bowing down before me? I don't think he thought like that. I think he's a lot like you and I that wondered where God was. Is God's promise still real? Is it really going to happen? And yet he kept pressing in. We're going to look at that next week, how he pressed in and how God's way up is actually down. But we're going to jump to the end of the story, because when Joseph finally gets to the place, when he finally gets into the palace and he's now second in command of all of Egypt, basically all of the known Middle Eastern world, and he's in charge of the food supply because he's interpreted some dreams of Pharaoh, he's in this place of position. And his brothers and his family come and they actually bow down to him. And I think it was actually at that moment that Joseph remembered that dream. Oh, this is what you were doing, God. This is the plan you had for me all along. This is what you wanted to do. You used my slavery, my gifting to bring me to the place of being able to save my family and all of Israel. But you see, here's the point. Joseph wouldn't have been there if he hadn't had a dream, if he didn't wear the coat, if his brothers weren't jealous, if his brothers didn't throw him into the pit, if he wasn't sold off to the Midianites, if he wasn't taken to Egypt, if he wasn't thrown into prison, more of that story next week, if he wasn't this and this and this, we're going to look at next week, to where he finally gets into the palace, he wouldn't have been in the position. But what Joseph learns is it's not about position, it's about service. And that's what a dream, when it's a God dream, does. It changes us. It makes us different because it's not about us. It's about God and glorifying God. And how can we be a service, a blessing for others? A lot of this world wants to say, dream your dreams, be big, go for it, go boldly, right? And then make it all about us and throw in some unicorns and rainbow and woo! And yet God says, no, it's about service. The humility of Joseph, which we'll look at next week too. Last thing I want to share. We live in a culture where we're sort of an Instagram culture. We expect things instantly. I take a picture, I can upload it to Facebook, Instagram, lots of different social media, and boom, I can start getting comments and feedback from friends, and right? And so it's a cool thing, but we get used to that with God. We get used to being able to just shoot up our prayer, and if God doesn't answer in the Instagram way, we're disappointed. And yet God is the God of the dark room. When I was in high school, one of the things I loved to do was take photographs, and I was part of the high school yearbook team. And I would take pictures, and we would go into a special place, into a special room, and take those negatives and develop them. Anybody else here actually develop negatives? Isn't that fun? A couple of you. You go into this dark room, it's a special place with special chemicals, and you have to take time. I remember churning that little roll of film in the solution, pulling out those negatives, letting them dry, putting them on the big old projector thing, blowing them up, putting that in a saline solution, da-da-da-da, all these different steps to make a picture. It took a while. God is the God of the dark room. We expect him to be the Instagram God, but he's like, no, I develop stuff in the dark. I develop it in your life and in my life when nobody else gets to see, nobody else gets to know. He puts those dreams and thoughts and visions in our heart. He's the God of the dark room. Where are those dark room places in you? Where he's going to use your immaturity. Maybe it was immature of Joseph to share his dream to begin with. I don't know. But even that, God used his immaturity that ended up in him in the pit to bring him into the palace. God uses our immaturity. God uses those places that aren't quite formed yet because he wants to. He's the God of the dark room. I told you I'd end with my story. I wanted to be a garbage man. A lot of people laughed. A lot of kids laughed at me for that one. Understandable, because I didn't want to be the astronaut, the fireman, or whatever. I wanted to be a garbage man. Because basically, as I said, I wanted to travel the world, which was my neighborhood, and I wanted to take out people's garbage. And I'm not joking. At about 6 years ago, I was having a quiet time with the Lord. And the Lord spoke to my heart. And he said, remember when you wanted to be a garbage man? I'm like, yeah. That was kind of dumb. He says, no, that's exactly who I made you to be. You travel the world as a counselor missionary. And you help take out the garbage. I'm sorry, I began to weep, and I was like, oh my gosh, God, thank you. You showed up. I never thought that. In my wildest dreams, I never thought that would be a fulfillment. that I would literally travel the world and help people take out their garbage. And God showed up in that quiet time and he showed me he's a God of our dreams, not because we're looking for it, but because he's a God of the dark room. And he used the very brokenness that brought me into counseling to begin with to help me then become, train me to become a counselor, to then be able to help me go and teach other people in the world to do the same. He's the God that uses us. When we know we've got a coat and we're going to wear it because it's the favor and the love of our Father, and we let our light shine. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you that you are a God that says it's different. It's different now. And you use our difference not because of our style, but because of the substance of who you are and who you've made us to be. Lord, I pray that it would be different for Grace Point. Lord, it is different now. We live in a COVID society. None of us would have ever imagined this year, or that we'd be doing church like this around tables and on Zoom. But Lord, I thank you that we can trust you when it's different, because you're the God who is different, and you're the God who wants to make us different. So Lord, I thank you for your heart for us today. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Around your tables, you have the usual discussion questions. Let's process this together. What's the dream maybe that God's put on your heart? Maybe it's a good time to share just a tiny bit of that around the table. Maybe it's a time to pray for one another for that. Maybe there's places where it's been disappointing. You're sitting here going, great message, Eric, but I'm still mad at God. I'm still frustrated because my dream hasn't come true. Let's process that. Let's pray through that and see what the Lord does in the next 20 minutes. Amen? All right.